And it's on page 573 of your pew Bible. Or you can just listen on, whichever you're comfortable with. This is a psalm that David wrote after he has been confronted by Nathan. Let's hear the word of God together. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned, and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak, and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear the joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will turn back to you. Save me from blood guilt, O God, the God who saves me, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. And in your good pleasure, make Zion prosper. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then there'll be righteous sacrifices, whole burnt offerings to delight you. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. Amen. May God bless us, the reading of his word. If you've been with us over the past couple of Sundays, you'll know that we had reached this point last Sunday morning, and Peter dealt with it so well about this avalanche of sin that comes over David. It starts with this moment when, instead of having gone out to war that he should have done with his men, that he stays in. He's up on a rooftop. He looks across, he sees Bathsheba bathing. He demands to know from his men, who is this? Bring her to me. He sleeps with her. She becomes pregnant. He decides then to get out of this situation, that he will have her husband killed, but he tries first of all to get her husband to go and sleep with his wife so that he can say, well, actually, it's not my child, it's his child. And Uriah, being an honourable man, says, no, I'm not going to be with my wife. I should be at the battlefield. That's where I want to be. And as David realises that his secrecy and his plans are not working, he then gives the instructions to have Uriah murdered. And there's this point where David maybe thinks that he has gotten away with it all, that what he has been doing in secret, nobody knows about. Nobody knows every detail of his sordid affair. And yet there comes this moment when Nathan confronts him. And he gives him this parable of the rich man and the poor man, and how the rich man takes the poor man's lamb and slaughters it. And as David is enraged by the story, remembering back to being a shepherd boy, Nathan says, "You're the man. You're the man. God knows exactly what you have been doing, David. You thought it was a secret? God knows. God has seen it, and God knows about it." And David's response to Nathan, as Nathan challenges him in 2 Samuel chapter 12, is, "I have sinned against the Lord." There's a saying, sin will take you further than you want to go. It will keep you longer than you want to stay. And it will cost you more than you want to pay. And that's exactly what David experienced. From not going off to war with his men, to one glance on a rooftop, led him into a relationship with a married woman that led him to sex, that led him to murder, that led him to the birth and the death of a child. Sin will take you further than you want to go. It will keep you longer than you want to stay. And it will cost you more than you want to pay. As bad as all of that was, there were two sentences in 2 Samuel 12 which were even more devastating and dangerous. In verse 9 of chapter 12, it says this, Nathan says to David, "Why did you despise the word of the Lord by doing what was evil in his eyes?" And in verse 14, "Because of what you are doing, you have, and the enemies of the Lord have shown utter contempt." You have despised the word of the Lord, and you have shown him utter contempt. That's what your sin and my sin says to God. You're despising my word. You're showing me utter contempt. And that for God was heartbreaking. And that's what brought David to that point to say, "Lord, I have sinned against you." When he realized the gravity of his sin. And so as we begin to look at this Psalm 51 very quickly, the depth of the sin is in this despising of the word and showing them utter contempt. But that wasn't the end of the story for David or for any one of us here today. There is always hope. And Psalm 51, when David wrote this, showed the hope that God gave David. Psalm 51 is one of seven psalms that were written by David that express his desire to confess and receive forgiveness from God. You can look at Psalm 6, Psalm 32, Psalm 38, Psalm 51, Psalm 102, Psalm 130, and Psalm 143. But this psalm, Psalm 51, speaks directly by David into his life and his sin with Bathsheba. So let's look at the psalm. There are three words here used to describe sin in these opening verses: transgressions, iniquity, and sin itself. Each of you may have already guessed that each word has a different meaning. Transgressions, the original meaning of that is a crossing of a boundary. Crossing of a boundary. Iniquity, the original meaning, is around the whole world of twistedness or perversion. And the word sin we know comes from an archery term, to miss the mark. And so if you look at each of those words as David uses them and to God, then you realize that David is confessing every aspect of what he has done. He crossed a boundary on the night that he invited men to go and find out more about Bathsheba. He was twisted and perverted in his actions and how he dealt with Uriah. And he sinned by missing the mark, missing what God had given him instructions to do from an early age. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your failing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. In the opening two verses, David makes a direct plea for mercy. And then in verses 3 and 4, he confesses his sin, and he follows that in verses 5 and 6 by recognizing the depth of his need. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost place. Here's the thing about David. He is honest with God. There is no hiding place. God has seen what David thought he was doing in secret. But those same sins that David had committed are the very sins that are eating away at him. And he describes that in Psalm 32 and verse 3. He writes this, "When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. Strength was sapped as in the heat of night." Every time that David looked at Bathsheba, he was reminded of his sin. Every time he heard the child cry, he was reminded of his sin. Every time he went up on the mountain, onto the rooftop, he was reminded of his sin. Every time he closed his eyes at night, he was reminded of a sin. His sin was not going away. His sin wouldn't go away until he reaches that point where he says, "I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. I have sinned against the Lord." Your sin, my sin, is not magically going to disappear until we deal with it before God. And for some of us this morning, even as we have talked about David doing things in secret, your stomach has been churning. As the Holy Spirit has been quietly speaking to you and quietly saying to you, "That's you. That's you. You think what you're doing is a secret? I see it." David is honest before God, and he appeals to God for mercy. And having confessed his sin to God, an act of cleansing comes from God. An act of forgiveness comes. And David asks of God three things. He asks him to blot out my transgressions, wash away my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. So how's that going to be done? David describes it in three ways. The first one is this, blot out. In other words, "Lord, totally remove from me my sin." In Isaiah 43:25, it says, "I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remember your sins no more." When God blots out your sin, when you have confessed to him and he gives you forgiveness, he blots them out. He remembers them no more. David says to God, "Cleanse me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear the joy and the gladness that the bones you have crushed. Hide your face from my sin and blot out my iniquity." Hyssop was the plant that they used to spread the blood over the doorposts at the time of the Passover. It was also used as the priests would sprinkle water to purify. And that's what David is saying. Cover me with your blood. Cover me with your blood. Cleanse me in the same way as the priest cleanse me. And the third one he asks is that he would be washed. Washed. And the picture of that from the Old Testament is created by the woman who would have washed the garment with soap. She would have treaded it in the water underfoot on a rock. She would have beaten it and pummeled it and allowed rushing water to pour over the garment so that it was clean. And that's the extent that God goes to the cleansing that he does with us. Whiter than white. Full and total cleansing. And as God has worked his cleansing in David's life, now restoration needs to begin. His sin has been blotted out. It has been washed away. He has been totally cleansed. And now a further work begins in David. In verses 10 and 11, he talks about starting to restore David's heart. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. When David remembered Saul, he remembered a man who had walked away from God, a man who God had removed the Holy Spirit away from him, who died not being in a right relationship with God. And we have to remember that in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was given as people needed it and could be taken away from God at any time. David is saying to God, give me a pure heart, a steadfast spirit. I want to be known again as a man after God's own heart. Transform me. Restore me, Lord. And then in verses 12 and 13, he asked that for that restoration of joy and salvation. And then the verses 14 to 17, a restoration of praise. You know, when we are steeped in sin, it can be hard to even come into church. It can be hard to sing the songs that we sing on a Sunday. David wants restored to be able to praise. We read about him weeks ago where he danced before the Lord, where he sang to the Lord, where he shared all of his passion and his worship, and he hadn't been doing that for months on end. And now he says, Lord, you have cleansed me now. Restore me into this right relationship. Allow me to praise you once more. I want you to note verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. In the Hebrew, the term broken and contrite heart indicates an experience of being crushed or bruised. And that's how David had been on that night that Nathan confronts him. He had been crushed by recognizing his sin. David was totally open and honest before God. He recognized his actions, that he had despised the word of God, that what God had said of him was true, and now he has fully repented before God and has received his forgiveness. And the last couple of verses, 18 and 19, he says, I want restored, Lord, but I want your kingdom restored. Warren Wiersbe describes what happens with David in the psalm in three stages. First is confession, forgive me. Second is cleansing, cleanse me, Lord. And thirdly, it's consecration, it's use me, Lord. I don't know what your life is like today. I don't know if you know the Lord as your Savior. I don't know. You do. I don't know if you're in a right relationship with him. I don't know if you've got hidden sin and you come here Sunday after Sunday. I know for some of you that you need to meet with God today. We all need to meet with God today. But for some of you, this is vital. For some of you, today is life and death. For some of you, you really need to stand before God and say, Father, forgive me for what I've done. Cleanse me. Wash me. Make me new. For some of us, our lives have not been right before God. David's life before God wasn't right for somewhere in the region of 9 months. And he stumbled from one thing to another until that night when Nathan said, enough is enough. God wants you back. And if that's what your life is like today, then that's what God says to you today. I have sent my son to die for you. He has taken your sin upon himself. And I long for you to come to me. I long for you to come and ask for forgiveness. I long to bring your cleansing to your life. I long for you to be restored to a right relationship with me. I long to be able to send you out to walk alongside brothers and sisters in Christ and lead others to me. Forgive me, Lord. Cleanse me. Use me. Please do not leave here today, either not knowing the Lord as your Lord and Savior. Please do not leave here today if your life is a mess with sin. There are lots of folks around here who will pray with you, who will sit with you, who will allow you to cry, will give you whatever you need. But don't leave here today. None of us know that we've got tomorrow. If anything, this virus has proved that. None of us know that. You've got today. And God says to you today, come to me. Let me cleanse you. Let me walk with you. Let's pray together.